Okay, I want to thank everyone for coming. This is Mark Pasha from Robbins Benonis Training. I'm very excited and happy to be on this call with you guys. This is a special question and answer teleclass, and we've received hundreds of questions from you about how to change your relationship, how to improve your performance at work, how to become a successful coach, how to become a better person who makes great decisions and makes the world a better place. And so this is a special call. It's designed to answer your questions and to deliver practical strategies that you can use right away. And so also we're in open enrollment for Robbins Benonis Training, and enrollment will only be open for another 48 hours. And I do want to let you know that we're not planning another open enrollment week to this group this year. So it's kind of what you see, what you get. We love serving the community. Now, we have to focus our energy and our time back to train our students. So for the last 48 hours, we actually have, after speaking with many of you and understanding some of the things you guys are looking for, we have some special time-sensitive news that will make the training, I think, and I hope, more valuable and also more accessible to you. So just quickly, in case you haven't met us before, I'd like to introduce Chloe Madonis, who for 30 years has been one of the top therapists in the world, who co-founded one of the major schools in strategic therapy and has an unmatched track record at solving a whole range of human problems. Now, 8 years ago, Tony Robbins was looking for someone with whom to create a legacy for his work, and he read one of Chloe's books, and he'd been looking for someone special for many years, but he read one of Chloe's books and shortly afterwards invited Chloe and myself to join him to create the Robbins Benonis Center for Strategic Intervention. Now, at the Robbins Benonis Center, our focus is on bringing the most effective tools for human change and for positive actions in every area of society. So, I had worked with Chloe before. Chloe sent me some videos of Tony's work when he sent them to her, and so they basically blew my mind. Chloe and I flew out to meet with Tony. He invited us to come to San Diego and start this project. And so since then, we've been making films, working on this body of knowledge, and now we have this coach training program that we're here for. And today we'd like to share solutions that we have to offer, and today we're going to focus on solutions. So we're going to take some questions that we received from people by email and through a questionnaire, and the questions generally have to do with the challenges in one of three areas: your workplace, your relationship or family, and parenting. And based on your question, we'll do our best to give you one concrete strategic action that you can use to transform that situation. And by the way, anyone who gets a question answered, we invite you to get back to us, please, and follow up and let us know that you've gotten the results that you're looking for. So for the next 25 minutes or so, we'll focus on answering questions, and then I'd like to share with you some of this last-minute kind of time-sensitive offer that I think is going to excite some of you. And so, Chloe, would you like to start with some questions? Do you have your list?
Yes, I would like to start with a question from Bob. Bob says, help. Chloe, my question is, how do you deal with a spouse, my wife, that is constantly angry, correcting, telling me what I did wrong, cutting, bitchy, etc.? She starts an argument almost every day. She criticizes and corrects me for every little thing. I feel like I have tried everything. Since there are kids involved, I have been reluctant to leave, as I think they need my balance and love, but I don't know how much more I can take. Strangely, around her friends or new people, she reverts back to this sweet, cute little girl I married. We've been married 6 years and have two kids.
Wow. All right. Well, when people are irritable or frustrated, they tend to really resist someone telling them to calm down or be nice, right, Chloe? So,
yes.
If you start to talk about it, it just makes them more angry, and then you feel like you can't even bring anything up without creating confrontation. So.
Mm-hmm. So the issue is how to control those bad moods of the spouse. And, it reminds me of a funny story of a PhD dissertation in clinical psychology that was a study that was done, I think, at the University of Florida many years ago. And the person doing the research was interested in would it be possible to influence people's behavior outside of their awareness. And so he took a group of wives of graduate students who all had the same complaint. The husbands were slobs. They didn't pick up after themselves. Everything was left on the floor, their clothes, their papers, their books, even plates of food, cups, and so on. And the wives were all irritated by this behavior. And he taught the wives to give positive reinforcement to the husbands whenever, even accidentally, they picked up one little thing. And so the wives were not supposed to criticize the husbands at all. Simply, if a husband picked up anything, the wife would immediately hug him and kiss him. In a matter of weeks, all the husbands were totally picking up after themselves. And they never knew, they never guessed that this was part of a study and that their wives had been conditioning their behavior with positive reinforcement. So what I suggest to Bob is to give positive reinforcement, rewards to your wife whenever she's not critical or angry or bitchy, so that any 5 or 10 minutes that she seems to be in a good mood, say something nice like, "You look pretty today," or "What can I do for you now?" Or, "I love that dress," or "That's so interesting what you said." So take 5 or 10 minute segments and give positive rewards, positive reinforcements, and don't do any kind of negative reinforcement when her behavior is bad. And I think that you'll see that gradually you condition her behavior to where she can be more positive. Also, don't forget that for women, the greatest porn is a husband offering to do chores or actually doing chores. So if you want to make your wife happy, and I see that there's two little children, just say, "Would you like me to vacuum now? Or can I make you a cup of tea? Or do you want me to take the children out so that you can rest for a while?" That is the kind of thing that I think will make her really grateful to you.
That's great.
Okay.
I was wondering, you know, are there some playful ways that people can break patterns in a relationship also? If, like, someone's in a bad mood, that you can, you know.
Yes. For example, another common complaint of husbands is the wife that nags a great deal, you know, the husband comes home and he wants to have some nice quiet time, or they're going out to dinner and she brings up the conversation that is painful. For example, "We don't have enough money," or "Did you pay the bills?" Or "What are we going to do about this, the kids' school tuition?" Or whatever is the controversial subject. And persists on that subject. So I recommend to the husband that he begin to take off his clothes. And he can begin gradually to give her a signal. For example, he might take off his shoe and drop it, or take out his watch or his tie. And then if she doesn't stop with that conversation, he's to continue taking off all his clothes until he's completely naked, whether they're in the street, in a restaurant, or with friends, wherever they are. And it's interesting because men are such exhibitionists. Men love this. And they immediately say, "Oh, yeah, I can do that. I'll do that." And, of course, women are terribly embarrassed. So it's a very good way to condition a woman out of that kind of behavior.
So you don't even have to explain anything. You can kind of just do it and let them make the connection?
Exactly.
Is that the kind of idea?
Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's hilarious because it just shows you how much power you actually have in a relationship. You have so much control that you can do. And, you know, people often feel stuck. They feel like, "I've tried everything." But, you know, if you're in the zone of being creative and resourceful, then you never feel like you've tried everything. You know exactly what you've tried, and you have a half a dozen other things to try. And every time you try something, you learn something. And so there's always a way to improve an area of your life or a relationship. Just maybe that you haven't had access to the right strategy. And this is one of the strategies that you can use to empower yourself and put the ball back in your court. Great. So do we have another question?
Yes. Gabriela says, "This man says he loves me, but when we're around people, he constantly pays more attention to other people than to me. He does very little eye contact. I feel so bad about it. He listens to me poorly, which leads me to think that he doesn't care or love me. What can I do to improve our relationship?"
Great. So, you know, that's a great question.
Yes.
You know, how do you do it when someone doesn't make you number one? It can be tough. It can be an ingrained. Sometimes it's an ingrained habit in the person where they get it from their parents, and they may not even be aware that they're not treating you well. So the question is, how can you communicate it in a way that will increase love and not decrease it, right?
Yes, sometimes women have difficulty explaining something that I think is universal, very common to all women. They need to have the man's attention, but they especially need the attention in public situations. It's one thing to get attention in private, in the privacy of your home. It's totally different for a man to show that he loves you, that you're special, that you're number one, by putting his arm around you as he talks with somebody else, by holding your hand, by whispering something in your ear. And I think it's very important to explain to your partner, to your boyfriend, that you really want this behavior, and to have a reminder that he has to pay attention to you in public. For example, if you feel that 10 minutes have gone by and he's not even glancing your way or touching you or anything, you might want to tickle him, or you give him a hug, or you show some attention to him, and that will be the signal to remember that this is what you like him to do. And most of the time, men show this kind of indifferent behavior involuntarily. They don't even realize. You know the saying that for most men, they can't walk and chew gum at the same time. So that if they're having a conversation with somebody else, or if they're watching a movie or whatever it is that they're doing, they don't remember to hold your hand or to put their arm around you also.
Yeah, and it's important also to just reward every behavior that way.
That's
so
right.
If he puts your hand on your back, then you know, acknowledge it every time. And so he doesn't feel like, hey, I just did that and I didn't get anything for it, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Great.
Okay, so the next question,
go ahead, Chloe.
Yeah, the next question is, I have attention deficit disorder, ADD. I absolutely love reading, but I constantly get distracted by internal and external sources, such as the TV or my own personal thoughts, and I wander away to dreamland for hours. It happens every few minutes or seconds I begin reading. I can hardly get anything done. Please help me.
Well, Chloe, I think I'd give this one a little shot. One of the best metaphors I've ever heard for ADD is that it's like a human riding on an elephant, where the rider is your logical brain and your elephant is your emotional brain. And the elephant rider may know where he needs to go, but it's pretty hard to control an elephant. And if the elephant, you know, wants to go get a snack someplace, there's not very much you can do about it if you're the rider. So if you have ADD or any kind of attention problems, and these days pretty much everyone has got some kind of distraction issues, you have to be strategic about how you're going to manage your attention. And it's pretty simple. Step one, control your environment. Figure out how and where you work best. Some people need a quiet room. Some people with ADD actually work best in a busy airport or busy place. Some people like to sit outside. Some people need music. And obviously, remove other sources of stimulus. Unplug the TV while you're working. And step two is to plan your variety. So in other words, when you're focused on work for an extended period of time, you'll get that feeling like, oh yeah, it's like an itch. You want to shift your focus to something else and open up a web page or go check out YouTube or something like that. And the reason why is because your brain wants a break chemically. It wants a variety. It wants a shift of focus. So there's nothing wrong with variety. The problem is when you use information to get your variety, and that information takes you to another website, and suddenly you've lost an hour. So that won't happen if you plan your variety to do certain activities that don't take you down a distracting path of information. So you could take 10 minutes and rest, or take a walk, or stretch, or juggle, which is really good for balancing your brain. And the bottom line is, for breaks, stay away from information. Your brain needs a rest. Take a 15-minute break, and then go back to 45 minutes of work, and you'll actually find that you're getting a lot more done out of that focused 45 minutes per hour than if you try to multitask or get distracted. So it's also, you know, it also gives you a lot of stamina, because when you take those breaks, your brain doesn't get tired after half a day of work. You don't get that same like 2 p.m. lull.
Yes, you know, actually, so, there's research that shows that the ideal way to work for everybody, not just for people with ADD, is to concentrate on your the work that you're doing for 50 minutes and then take a 10-minute break. It really applies to everyone.
Yep.
Okay, so the next question is from Jane, who says, my husband and I used to have a passionate relationship, but now it's like we're just friends. We haven't had sex in almost 4 years. I'm wondering whether he has a physical problem, but I did notice that he does get erections in his sleep. What can I do? All right. Well, yeah, this is a common problem. It seems to happen more and more that people sort of get disconnected and the passion is gone. And people who are relatively young could, may go for a long period of time without having sex. And this reminds me of a very interesting study that was done by Playboy magazine, of all places. Playboy magazine was interested in...
I know you read Playboy, Chloe. I know this is... You know, this came across in your regular reading.
When from time to time, Playboy had really interesting intellectual articles. I haven't read it for a few years now, so I don't know. But anyhow... actually, now GQ has interesting intellectual articles, Gentleman's Quarterly. Right, I read that. So anyhow, Playboy magazine was interested in the subject of why some women are capable of having multiple orgasms. And so they collected a sample of women who had in common that they were multi-orgasmic. And so these women were of different ages, different social class, different educational background, different in many ways, but they had this ability for many orgasms in common. And they did a study asking the women, what did they attribute this ability to, why they had this ability. And, of course, Playboy magazine thought that the women would say it was some special characteristic of the man, either his physique or his ability as a lover or something like that. But no, all the women said that what they did was that at least an hour before they were going to have the encounter with a man, the woman would devote herself for at least an entire hour to just thinking sexy thoughts, playing her favorite music, watching her favorite actor in a movie, reading a romance novel, taking a bubble bath, trying on lingerie, making poses in the mirror, imagining sexual scenarios. By the time the man showed up, it didn't matter who he was or what he did. She was ready to jump on him.
Now I'm
so
getting the Playboy connection.
It's a surprising finding for Playboy, but I've used this in therapy for many years, and I recommend this to all the coaches that are looking at this kind of problem and to all the people, all the women that want to liven up their sex life. Devote 1 hour by yourself to planning in this way, to indulging in sexual fantasies, to turning yourself on before the man even shows up. And for the men, I would say if you're interested in reviving passion with your wife, tell her, I would like to have some fun with you tonight, so I want to give you an hour to get ready, to rest, to relax, to prepare yourself. I'll take care of the kids. I'll give them dinner, whatever it takes. You just take an hour by yourself.
Exactly. Guys need to be able to give give the lady some preparation time.
That's right.
That she can, you know, pamper herself and not feel like she's just going from one errand to another. It's like a, you know. And so that's a great example of how one person can completely shift a relationship. I mean, a relationship can sometimes seem to kind of gone off and people feel like there's nothing they can do, but it's basically an illusion. There's a lot of things that you can do to shift the situation, and you don't actually have to confront someone. You don't have to have that painful conversation. There's a dozen things that you can do to understand your partner effectively and shift their behavior without even telling them.
Exactly.
And so it's just the intelligent way to take action.
Yeah.
You know, for the sake of the relationship. Great.
Okay, can I answer one more?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so here's one from Carrie. I struggle with self-esteem every day because of some things from my past. I know it's ruining my life. What do I do? Well, there's so many people with self-esteem problems. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to tell a quick story about someone that I was coaching. Can I take 5 minutes, Mark?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, so I'm going to call this woman Caroline. Caroline came from an upper-class American family that had been very wealthy, and then the money petered away. It was a very traditional family. And Caroline had a very rejecting mother who had hit her many times. And then she had the major trauma that her beloved grandmother had committed suicide. So she attributed her low self-esteem to these factors, to the kind of mother that she had and to the grandmother's suicide. And when she first consulted with me, the first thing that she did was to talk to me about how she had such low self-esteem. She had been in a bad marriage. She had divorced that husband, married again. And as soon as she married this man, he lost his job and began to just sit at home watching TV all day. He was not looking for a job. He was doing nothing. And when she came home from work, he would be verbally abusive to her and on several occasions had actually pushed her and hit her. And there was a huge incongruity with this this kind of pattern in Caroline's life, because she was actually a very beautiful, very intelligent, and very successful businesswoman with an important career, and yet she was putting up with this from the husband.
Yeah, that's she was a very high-performing professional.
Yes.
It happens so often with people who are high professionals, and they have work-life issues, and the work-life issues are that sometimes the biggest constraint to your career can be something that's not work, that's not in your work. It can be a relationship or a family situation or an incongruity like that. So, I mean, you know, it's very strange, but sometimes you have these high executives and often the people that you coach, Chloe, are hitting this wall, and the wall is not work. The wall is not the career.
Exactly.
It's arranging their life, the work-life balance, so they can prosper.
That's why it's so important for a coach to know how to intervene in all areas of a person's life. Because suppose that you're a business coach, you what may be holding back your client is the relationship with their spouse, nothing having to do with the business. And so you've got to know how to intervene there. So anyhow, the first thing I did, of course, was to invite the husband to come in, and I tried to work with him to make him communicate better with her and for them to have a better relationship so he wouldn't be violent and so on. And the first thing he did was he threatened me. He stood up pointing a finger at me and said that there was nothing wrong with him. He wouldn't change anything that he did, and he would behave in the same way towards me. I had to tell him to leave my office and never come back. So
I love it when you do. I love it. If you don't know, Chloe's like 5'2", and she's very petite, but she has no problem telling big guys what to do.
Yeah, this was a real big guy. So anyhow, the next thing I did then, of course, was to help Caroline to separate from this man. And it was very difficult to get her to leave, which is, you know, the common thing when a woman is abused. She doesn't understand that she's free until she's out of there. And so I had to, she was giving me all kinds of excuses, especially her low self-esteem as an excuse for staying in that situation. So I had to plan the way she was going to leave him step by step. And I arranged for her to rent a furnished apartment and for her to leave with only one suitcase at a time when he was out of the apartment, and to find a place that was unlikely, an unlikely place for her to leave, to live. And so he was not able to find her. And so she then was able to file for divorce. And that proceeded well. When she left, actually, he didn't really pursue her. Often in these situations, the man is relieved that she took action, and so the divorce proceeded. So I began to meet with her, and all the time I continued meeting with her, and she began to talk all the time about her low self-esteem, how she was a worthless woman. She had been an abused woman. Her mother had abused her, then this husband had abused her. And I was getting really tired of this. And so I remember that I said to her, Caroline, abused women don't wear Prada. Look at the way you're dressed. You don't have a clue about what an abused woman is like. You're not abused, an abused woman. Look at yourself in the mirror. And not only she was elegant and rich, she was very beautiful, but she kept on with this. So I said one day to her, you know, I'm really sick of this. If you're going to do this thing of that you're an abused woman and you're worthless and so on, some good has to come out of it, because I can't stand it anymore. And so I wanted to become useful to somebody. So I'm going to organize what you have to do so something good comes from your bad thoughts. So this is a typical strategic intervention, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the core beliefs of strategic intervention is that if something bad or painful or damaging has happened, there has to be a way for something good to come out of it. So anyway, Chloe, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. How'd you make something good come out?
So I said to her, okay, you've been talking about your low self-esteem now for 10 minutes. So I want you to immediately write a check for $100 and we will mail it together to the House of Hope, which is the Center for Abused Women that I knew. So she wrote the check. And I said, from now on, I want you to, at all times, wear a watch with a second hand. And if you have these thoughts about being an abused woman, low self-esteem, worthless, and so on, for more than 30 seconds at any point in time, the second check will be for $200. The third check will be for $400. The fourth check will be for $1,600. The fifth check will be for $32,000. This is a geometric progression where you multiply a number by itself, so very quickly you're into large amounts of money. And she began to do this, and I didn't ask about it anymore, and we began to talk about other things, and actually she became very extremely successful in her career, and she actually broke through the glass ceiling and became one of the top executives in the United States. And I never asked about the money, and she never talked about her low self-esteem again. But one day I got a call from the director of the House of Hope, who says, you know, Chloe, there's a woman who's been donating large amounts of money to our organization, and I have the feeling that it has something to do with you. And I said, oh, well, maybe. But I think that she stopped having to donate money when she had already donated like more than $40,000, almost $50,000.
Wow.
And then actually she did so well also in her private life. She found a great husband and got married again and was very happy.
Wow. So it was worth the $40,000.
She broke
the glass ceiling.
Yes.
You can't do that if you have a deadbeat husband.
It's
much more difficult.
Yeah.
Great. So that's a great example of creating change just by giving yourself a little structure and consequences. So, you know, whenever you have a behavior that you have that you keep despite yourself, it can often feel like you can't control it, and you can't always control the behavior. We have impulses that are, you know, very fast, but you can definitely control the consequences that come out of it. So Carolyn gave her behavior, you know, a consequence and took care of it. And what I really like about this, which is another core belief of our work, is that all learning, all change directs you towards growth and contribution. So when Caroline felt low self-esteem, the House of Hope got a check. She was training herself out of that pattern. Other battered women were getting help, and nothing is wasted. Chloe, you turned it into a win-win.
Yeah.
And so also, when you train yourself or someone else towards growth and contribution, it sticks. It not only sticks, but spreads, because people get addicted to growth and contribution. Nice thing about growth and contribution is that it grows on itself. So Caroline becomes not a victim, but a solution, and then she's helping other victims out of their victimhood. and they actually didn't need you anymore. I mean, the growth and the contribution kept on going. You didn't even have to talk to her about it.
That's right. Okay, Mark, do you want to tell them a little bit about the program?
Okay, sure. So basically, now that we're down to the last 48 hours of enrollment week, I've been getting a bunch of requests from people, and so for the last 48 hours, we're going to try to make some offers that will help you. And so here are some quick announcements. The first announcement is that we've heard from some people who are wondering whether they can go through the program more quickly than a year. And the answer is yes. You can sign up for an option where you can go through an accelerated pace. So sign up, and when we get in touch, ask for the acceleration option. And that the place to get to go to get this is getrmt.com. So that's G-E-T-R-M-T, kind of like Get Robin Spinata's Training, GetRMT. And that'll take you straight there. The second announcement that we have is that we've had a ton of requests from people asking about the Study Buddy program.
Mark, let me ask you a question, because
yes.
There's something I don't understand, and maybe some other people don't understand it also.
Absolutely.
Is this just to sign up for the acceleration option or to sign up for any of the programs?
Oh, yes. So that's where you can go to getrmt.com to sign up for the program, and then go ahead and sign up, and if you want to go quicker, you can basically let me know by email. But
okay.
I just wanted you to know that is available, because some people are in a rush. Some people want to train more quickly, or they have experience as a coach and they want to just add this level of mastery or this skill set to what they're already doing. So, you know, we just want to make that available. The second announcement is that we've had a lot of requests about the Study Buddy program. And so the Study Buddy program is something we made available last time we opened enrollment. And it's basically a special opportunity to join the program with a friend or partner, a study buddy. And so studies show that people learn best when they have an emotional connection, when they have someone to share with, and community is really important to us. So in the past, we offered people to join with a study buddy, to take someone from their community, if they're a coach, another coach, or people that they know, or a family member, or a friend, or someone that they know from an online community. And so there's basically three reasons why study buddies really work. One, accountability. Two, companionship. And three, you get to share, discuss, and troubleshoot. You'll also get a series of exercises to do with your buddy if you want, so that you know, you're giving coaching and receiving coaching on a regular basis for free, and this is a way to really experience the strategies that we'll be giving you on a personal basis. So it's a great program. People have really appreciated it, and people get to have a buddy. By the way, people do get to have a buddy no matter what membership level you're in. So I wasn't going to offer this as a membership level, but there are people who have actually been saving up to join the program this way, and they already have their buddy, and they're looking forward to it, and so they were kind of upset that it wasn't available. And so I just wanted to offer it to everyone. So for the last 48 hours of enrollment, we're going to offer this program. And what it means is if you join with a friend or someone you know or someone you find, then it's basically two for one. It's almost half off in terms of the price. So we do have a payment plan. And the membership level is basically each person joins for it's $2,000 per person, or three payments of $675 per person. So for those of you who have a study buddy or want one, I hope you enjoy that and that helps you. Now, in order to make this happen, I've had to ask Chloe for more one-on-one hours, which she's going to do, but her time is limited. So study buddies each get an hour with Chloe, and we may have to cut off the study buddy plan after about 30 members, so we have some limited quantity.
I want to say something here. I really
yeah.
enjoy the one-on-one phone conversations. In fact,
yeah.
I'm enjoying them and using them for my own education. I'm developing all kinds of new strategies through them, and I'm going to feature these strategies in my next book on phone-based strategic interventions.
Great. Yeah. Okay, so if you want to contribute to Chloe's next book, with no names revealed, of course, it would be all private, but you should definitely get to talk on the phone with her. Now, I'll say one thing, Chloe. Chloe's modest, and she doesn't like me to say this, but she's been on the cutting edge of human change for 40 years, and there's no problem that she hasn't seen a dozen times and solved. So she has an amazing track record. She's always there for follow-up. If you have a situation where you need advice, you can be very sure that she will get you your result. And so by joining this program, you get 2 hours reserved with Chloe that you can use at any time. And if again, if you're a study buddy, then each buddy gets 1 hour. Oh, we're getting an important question here. If you want to join through Study Buddy, you do not have to wait to find your buddy. So we don't want that to slow anyone down. So if it's better that you enroll first and let us know that you need a little time to find your buddy, and we'll make an arrangement.
Yes, and we will provide a whole series of exercises and practices that you can do with your study buddy.
Great. Okay, so the other thing that's been on people's mind is business. And
Hello?
You know, obviously people have been asking, how do I set up a coaching business? How can I be certain that my investment of this program is going to bring me a business that will help me create a stream of income? And so we're very passionate about helping all of our students not only learn strategic intervention and coaching, but to be able to find ways that they can apply it. And they build a business where they can be rewarded for the knowledge that they have and the expertise that they have. So I just wanted to let you know that we're going to be focusing very strongly on marketing your coaching and strategic intervention business. We'll focus on how you can take what you already know and combine it with strategic intervention principles so that you're creating a new specialty in your industry. We'll also be focusing on online marketing. We'll be focusing on marketing locally within your community, advertisement and ways of promoting yourself and promoting an event, and how to do one-on-one consultations. We'll have a whole plan for you. And as far as income is concerned, I know I mentioned that you'll be getting a separate education as a marriage educator and divorce prevention expert. I just wanted to explain that that's a whole different certification that's included now. So you're actually trained to present the Ultimate Relationship Program to clients and groups, and you can charge for that. So giving URP workshops, Ultimate Relationship Program workshops, is a great way to, you know, get clients to notice you and bring them to you. So, and we just want to spread the word on how these relationship principles help people. So the other thing I'd like to add quickly is that we have students who work in all sorts of professions and industries, and we're going to make sure that strategic intervention works in your advantage in the workplace. So we're going to create a live, interactive workplace intensive where you'll come up and you'll basically tell us what your challenges are, what situations you're dealing with, and we will give you very concrete ways of applying strategic intervention strategies to your workplace. So personalities in the workplace, maybe you have a supervisor who's not sympathetic, maybe you got moved to a division you don't like, or maybe there's office dynamics, or you might be a specific kind of consultant like a tax preparer or financial advisor or something like that. And, you know, there's certain typical situations that happen, people situations, that make your job difficult and slow and make it difficult to get a result. So whatever your your situation, we'll be going into a detail and solving your problems. And so we are always there also for follow-up. So we, you know, if something doesn't work 1 week, you get back to us and we'll make sure that you've got, that you're well-armed. And so the final announcement here, anyone who joins during this enrollment week in the next 48 hours will get to attend a live training with Chloe and myself in San Diego for half off. So probably towards the end of the year or possibly early next year, we'll be giving us a complete strategic intervention intensive. We'll be taking your skills to the next level. And if you've never seen Chloe live, it's pretty awesome. She picks up on stuff that you'd never even think of. She can cut to the chase and show people ways of understanding people very, very quickly. And it's very rare to be able to study with her in person. So if you join within 48 hours or by midnight on June 10th, you'll get 50% off this event. And again, the place to go to sign up for this program is getrmt.com. So that's getrmt.com. So just quickly to summarize, first, if you want to accelerate your training, you can do so. Secondly, you can join with a study buddy. It's like a almost 50% discount off the fee. You can have a 3-payment plan of $675, and you can take a couple days to find your buddy. Third, we'll train you on how to set up and market your strategic intervention coaching business, how to find your niche, how to market your service. And fourth, we'll give you a 3-week workplace intensive so that you'll know how to solve problems at your workplace. And fifth, the strategic intervention training event live with Chloe, and 50% off on that. And so the place, again, you go, just so you know, is GETRMT.com, GetRMT.com.
That's
it for the announcements.
RobinsBananasTraining.com, right?
Okay, yes. I mean, you can also go to RobinsBananasTraining.com through the usual way, or you can go through GetRMT.com.
Okay, so I have another story that I'd like to tell you. But maybe we should take some calls first. What do you think, Mark?
Why don't we do the story? Why don't we do the story first, and we can do the calls after that. What do you think?
Okay, very good.